All over the country, police departments are relying more and more on surveillance technology. In recent years, Seattle police have purchased drones, installed surveillance cameras in West Seattle, and put up a wireless network downtown that could track cell phones. These programs were stopped after a public outcry. And it came to light last week that Seattle police also purchased software from a company called Geofedia that can monitor public social media posts. Meanwhile, there's a national effort from the ACLU to get police departments to pump the brakes on the use of surveillance technology. Shankar Narayan is with the ACLU of Washington. He's concerned about how tools like Geofedia could be used.
These are systems that allow a deep dive into someone's social media presence. In other words, not only what they might post on, say, Facebook or Twitter or other social media websites, but also things they might post on chat rooms, for example, even, for example, conversations that they might have thought were private, but because of some nuance of their privacy settings or a resetting of their privacy settings, something that these engines could pick up. And what you get then is the combination of all of these pieces of information to create a pretty clear picture of someone's associations, where they go, so their location on almost a real-time basis, whether they engage in protests, all of those kinds of things that we consider activity protected by the First Amendment. Law enforcement can now get a fairly clear picture based on these tools that are readily available. There are at least a dozen different software products, and the one that Seattle Police Department purchased is called Geofedia. So that's one example of something that hasn't been happening before that Seattle Police Department has acquired without that publicly transparent process.
What are your concerns about the use of these electronic surveillance tools?
I think at the most fundamental level, we're talking about preserving the relationship between community members and their government as being a relationship of freedom. What we've seen is where people feel that they're being surveilled, they act differently and they don't necessarily come out with their most original ideas. They may hesitate to go to their place of worship. They may hesitate to associate with people that rightly or wrongly the authorities may deem suspicious. There's many ways that are very subtle in which people will change their behavior if they feel that they're being surveilled. And because surveillance is becoming so much easier and cheaper, we really need to have the debate at the front end about whether we can still be a free society in the context of this kind of ubiquitous surveillance. So at its root, it's really about preserving all of our fundamental freedoms.
Now, I understand the ACLU is particularly concerned with communities of color and low-income communities, saying they've been turned into fishbowls, in essence. Why is that?
Well, we've seen historically that even the kinds of, you know, brick-and-mortar or analog surveillance, for want of a better word, in terms of who gets surveilled, who gets stopped, who gets arrested, and who gets sentenced, we have disproportionality at all points of our criminal justice system, even in the world we live in today. And I think that it's reasonable to expect that those kinds of disproportionalities would also apply in the kinds of technologies we're talking about. These technologies are really only as good as the data sets that go into them, the assumptions that are built into them by the people that are building them, and also the ways in which they're deployed. And there's more and more studies coming out that show that there's actually bias potentially in all three of those areas, which can result then in the disproportionate targeting of communities of color.
Seattle, as you know, has an ordinance on the books regarding police surveillance. In fact, the Seattle Police Department is required to get City Council approval before they purchase surveillance equipment. To what extent is Seattle's law considered a national model?
It is considered a model for the nation, but at the same time, because this field moves so quickly, even though the law was enacted only 3 years ago, it's already in need of an update. The first is that the definition needs to be made crystal clear in terms of what it covers and doesn't cover. I think there's been an argument made that because social media monitoring systems are software and not perhaps equipment, as the ordinance states, that maybe they fall outside the purview of the ordinance, although we would argue otherwise. That needs to be clarified both for the sake of People in Seattle who want transparency, but also for the agencies that are trying to figure out how to go through this process and acquire technologies. The second thing that needs to happen is that the exigent circumstances loophole in the law needs to be gotten rid of. There's basically a provision that says that if there's an emergency, you can go ahead and deploy the technology without going through an ordinance process. Unfortunately, that's been misused to allow for things like ongoing two-year contracts for software or hardware that I think were never contemplated to be driven through that loophole in the first place.
There are some people in law enforcement who might argue that there are considerable benefits to using surveillance technology. It can help them solve crimes. It can increase public safety. So how do you respond to that?
I say by all means, let's have that conversation. I think it's often presented that there's this false dichotomy between public safety and your ability to retain privacy or be free from unnecessarily intrusive government surveillance. What we would like to see is a real debate about what's effective in protecting public safety, and then a balancing of the benefit of a particular technology in terms of public safety against the kinds of chilling effects, the diminishment of community trust, and all of the other impacts that that deployment may have. And I think if you apply that process, you get a much healthier community where you're really investing in technology that works to keep people safe. Unfortunately, I don't think that we've always followed that model consistently, but we certainly should, because we can be both safe and free.
Shankar Narayan directs technology and liberty efforts with the ACLU of Washington. The Seattle Police Department says it's no longer using Geofedia. A spokesman told The Stranger Geofedia was used for criminal investigations and not as a surveillance tool to track people engaged in constitutionally protected activities.